Stand Up for the Truth is sponsored by Lakeshore Communications Incorporated and made possible by your generous tax-deductible donations at standupforthetruth.com/donate. This is Stand Up for the Truth, educating, empowering, and connecting Christians to stand on God's Word and truth.
A man who won't stand up for his own principles is not really a man at all.
Get involved by emailing comments at standupforthetruth.com.
You can't handle the truth!
Now, here's the host of Stand Up for the Truth, Mike LeMay.
Viewing the news of the day through the only reliable lens, the Word of God. Good morning, Mike LeMay and David Fiorazzo, and we welcome you to another edition of Stand Up for the Truth. Some good topics, good guests, after we open in prayer.
Good morning, Lord. Thank you for giving us another day. We trust your word, and we know that your mercies are new every morning, and your faithfulness is great. We thank you, Lord, that no matter what we see in our physical eyes, we know that you're always working in the realm of the Spirit, and we pray that you'd continue to allow us to do the work that you've called us to do. And thank you for your promise that you will complete the work that you began in each one of us. And I thank you for your Holy Spirit, that we are not left without help and without hope, and that hope is eternal. We praise you for another day, another opportunity, Lord, to live and do your will. We are here because you keep our hearts beating, and you keep breath in our lungs, and you give us the strength in our daily bread one day at a time. We praise you for your protection and your provision. We lift up this hour and this day to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, David. Our topic later today, Alice Bailey and the mission of the United Nations. Well, last week, the UN condemned the United States for daring to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, even though this has been an historic fact going back thousands of years. And while one reason was certainly that they wanted to cave into the demands of radical Muslim nations that now dominate the UN General Assembly, could there be another reason behind this decision? Now, most people think of the UN as a gathering of countries to talk about differences and hopefully avoid war. Well, if that is its mission, it is obviously a miserable failure when you look at the world today. But there is much more going on behind the scenes at the UN, and to understand it, we must know its history and the philosophies of the people instrumental in starting it. One such person is Alice Bailey, and a little later this morning, we look at her life, beliefs, and agenda. But first, we welcome back one of our regular guests, counterculture mom, Tina Griffin. Tina, welcome back to Stand Up for the Truth.
Hey, good morning. Hope you guys are staying warm up there.
We are doing so.
Good morning, Tina. And I know we rescheduled because you were sick last week. We trust that you are getting close to 100% and getting caught up with everything you need to get caught up with in your life.
I am, but the funny thing is, I think it's something going on with my sleep pattern. After moving 2 months ago, about 2 weeks ago, my sleep just went awry. And last time I was supposed to be on, I got about 2 hours that night. And funny thing is, I didn't tell you guys this, but God's getting me through this one. I'm totally pumped up for today. But I didn't sleep 1 minute last night. So I have no idea what's going on. But I will tell you, God gave me a lot of great ideas through the night. I wrote them down because my brain was just on fire. And I prayed a lot last night. So maybe God was just like, hey, I need to talk to you for the next 8 hours. So you're going to stay awake and talk to me and listen.
Well,
so that was my last couple of hours.
Well, you know, with a couple of small children, I'm sure you'll have no problem catching up in your sleep, Tina. Anyway, yeah. Hey, there's an educational policy conference coming up January 25th through 27th that you're going to be a part of, along with some really well-known speakers talking about where education is going.
Yes, and I just want to encourage anyone out there, if you're thinking, how could I ever do fill in the blank, whatever it is, dream big, because like I was talking to you before the show today, I actually told my husband after church yesterday, God will take you wherever he wants you to go, and I don't know really how I got in besides God, because these are some speakers I have looked up to for years. Jesse Waters from Fox, Michael Medved, the Honorable Bob McEwen. Just a lot of neat people that will be speaking there. Congressman Michelle Bachmann, a lot of people talking about all different topics, and it's all about winning the war in our culture. We can see it's getting worse, but when you have a conference that's all about helping equip parents to how to win the battle, their actual mission statement is winning the second American Civil War at home, school, community, and nation. this is a conference where you don't just get fed a funny story, you leave, and you forget about what you just attended. This is an equipping and educational conference where concerned parents, teachers, counselors, you name it, having kids or not, can come to this and leave 48 hours later with a plan of action of what to do with the talents and gifts they're born with to actually implement change in their communities. And that's why I'm so excited to be a part of this, because that's all I've been talking about for the last 15 years in regards to pop culture. So very excited. Anyone at all listening to this needs to come to a conference like this and get fed. It's definitely worth it. It is January 25th to 27th. In St. Louis, and the website is epcconference.org for further information and to register.
And also, I'm looking at some of these other people that are in here. I mean, there's several favorites of mine, including David Kupelian and Jeff Myers, an apologist. Just some amazing, just going through this list and seeing the people that you're there with, what a blessing, Tina. Sam Sorbo and Brigitte Gabriel. You mentioned Michelle Bachman. So, and Kevin Jackson. So a lot, Patrick Wood. I'm just going through all these names. So let me ask you, after you, you know, rub elbows with some of these people, are you going to still come back on our program?
Are you kidding me? Yes. I'm talking about my own weekly program. I haven't bugged you guys with that yet and given you a pitch on that. Definitely. And I already ahead of time, I was telling Luke yesterday, I'm going to do research on every person attending speaking, because going to events like this, I love the opportunity to share and help parents and help them navigate through today's pop culture chaos. But I also get fed by so many other speakers at this conference myself. And you can't give if you don't have. And so I love getting fed at a conference like this. And also the people that I've been meeting at these conferences over the years are so giving. I've become good friends with Sam Sorbo over the last year. I just met her a year ago at another conference in Florida. And we keep in touch through calling each other. And what she's already fed into me has just been phenomenal. So I'm going to be prepared. So if I have a couple minutes with some of these people, I will be ready to know what to ask them. So, and David's books in the past are the ones that really woke me up to what's going on in our culture and our educational system. It's caused me to get off the bench and in the game. So to meet these people that have really impacted my life 20 years ago is just going to be a big treat, and I'm looking forward to it. And I want anyone listening, tuning in here today, to come check it out. Come meet me down there. You know, I'll help introduce you to people. It'll be a really good time, and you'll leave encouraged.
Well, Tina, I just want to mention Michael Medved's book is still probably in my top 15 list, The 10 Big Lies About America. And you're going to be blessed by Michael Medved as well. But I did want to ask you, you know, it's an education policy conference. So what is some of the main thrust that you know of? Is it trying to get parents involved in having influence on some of the policies at the local level, or are we talking we need to just, you know, reboot the government and get the government more and more out of education? What is the main thrust of the Education Policy Conference?
That's literally, it's everything you just mentioned. It's all different angles. In fact, Sam Sorbo, with her book that she'll be bringing regarding the importance of homeschooling your kids if you decide to homeschool, and she's an advocate for homeschooling, she'll be talking about putting the power back in the parents' hands on how to educate our kids in a biblical manner, the way God has taught us to educate our kids. And if homeschooling is your route to go, Sam Sorbo has an excellent, excellent seminar covering that topic. Brigitte Gabriel, this woman is maybe 5 feet tall, but she speaks as if she's 9 feet tall. She will be speaking about Islam and how it's the dangerous effects it's having on teaching Islam in our school system today. I just heard her speak at the Value Voter Summit in Washington, D.C., and I was blown away by her knowledge and how on fire she is with educating parents about, here's what's going on if we allow it in our schools, what our kids are learning. Christianity is getting kicked out, and this is being allowed in. So she's excellent if you want to learn about the whole educational system from that aspect. David Kupelian, from his books that you've seen about education and the corruption, even in advertisements today and in the media, I'll be talking about pop culture, how to win the war on pop culture. So it's all about winning the war and the different wars that are attacking our next generation and our country as a whole. So it's all sides, but it's not just what the problem is, but the solution will be given to help encourage parents on letting them know what they can personally do to make a difference in all these different facets. So you'll have workshops that you can choose from depending on what your needs are for yourself, for your family, for your community, so you can get plugged in personally.
Tina, we know that media, Hollywood, and music has a lot of influence on our children, and some of the people our children look up to or follow are setting very dangerous precedents. One of them is Nicki Minaj. Now, I don't think I would recognize her from a tree trunk, but apparently a lot of people, a lot of young people look up to her, and she's up to some shenanigans, isn't she?
Yeah, major. And it's starting to make waves just because, and I was so encouraged by this, there was a recent episode, Eve, on the show The Talk. She just literally got on that talk show, and within the first couple days, she talked about her disapproval of Nicki Minaj with a magazine shoot she had just done about a month ago, where she, Minaj means threesome. So kids are being taught on having threesomes and sexual acts just in her name alone. She changed her name from what she was born with her God-given name. And so change it to Minaj. And the problem with this is it's a picture of the front of this magazine with three different images of herself doing lewd sexual acts just on the cover. I mean, she's barely clothed. Her hair is covering up some of her body parts. But she's having a Minaj with herself, and she's praising the fact that she's doing that. Of course, she's trying to break the internet. Back in 2014, Kim Kardashian broke the internet with millions of views of doing a practically nude shoot herself on the very same cover of the same magazine, paper magazine. And so she did this sexual act with herself in this magazine cover and praising it, but the inside I did not see. I don't want to see it. The cover was bad enough. And I even encourage people not to do the research to look at it because you don't want to see it. There's really nothing to see and nothing left for the imagination. But the other thing I want to show is and talk about is the fact that she's such an influential person for the next generation. I mean, millions of young kids are being influenced by what she does. And the way that it's really twisted in my book is she was recently approached by three fans from China on the street here. I believe it was in L.A., about middle part of last year, and they were like, oh, you're so great, you're so beautiful, and she actually stopped them on the street, and there's a short little video that I watched, and they saw her tattoo in Chinese, and she said, do you know what it means? And one of the girls from China said, yeah, it means God is with me always. So she read the tattoo, and I'm thinking, man, her God is not the God of the Bible. This woman is not saved, but many people that follow her are like, oh, she believes in God, she loves God, and they're getting a twisted image of who God is from what a celebrity is saying. And this is what's weird for the timing. She's talking about God is with her everywhere she goes, and she was on her way to do a shoot for a video called Light My Body Up, and in it she barely dressed doing lewd sexual acts on stage. So we got to pray for Nicki Minaj, and parents listening, please tune in to who your kids are listening to. If you're girls and boys are watching her videos, please do not allow them to watch the videos. Explain to them what she's doing is not following the word of God, that she is showing her body in a sexual graphic manner that honestly should be left within marriage and in privacy. And so that's my main concern, is even tattoos today, what big impact they have on kids being promoted through celebrities.
And her lyrics, obviously, like a majority of the pop artists' lyrics today, Christian parents, you must be involved and aware of what kind of music your kids are listening to. Nicki Minaj sang with Madonna and some other controversial artists in the 2011 Super Bowl halftime show, I believe it was.
Yeah.
And it is offensive to most people, not just Christians, to most people who just want a clean or somewhat traditional or clean halftime show. But this is just accepted now year after year, it seems, unless they get some old geezer that had hits back in the 1970s to do a halftime show. They're getting all these people that kids are being influenced by. Tina, how can we raise more awareness about what parents need to know? What how to slow down this train of perversion and just blatant? It's really open rebellion against God through the music industry.
It totally is, and they are refusing. A lot of them worship Satan, and they're very outspoken on that fact.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many facets to this. My biggest thing is when God gives us the eyes to see a problem and ears to hear a problem, we need to speak up. And we still have, praise the Lord, freedom of speech here in America. And so we have to do something about it. We need to call, if it's a record label, call that record label that represents that musician and voice your concern. Call the Federal Communication Commission. There is an 800 number on the internet. I could look up here in 2 seconds, actually. I would call the FCC and let them know, hey, I don't agree with the content. When that Super Bowl deal happened with Janet Jackson back in 2004, and she flashed her chest in a so-called wardrobe malfunction.
Yeah.
People were calling the FCC left and right. We have to keep our voices
yes.
heard. It's 1-888-225-5322. You can also Google the FCC. Voice your concern. And the thing that really makes me mad is that there are laws out there today that are being broken left and right by Hollywood mm-hmm. where there should not be anything that's lewd, sexual in nature, violent in nature being promoted to our kids. And honestly, the next generation, our kids, are the ones that are being promoted the most sex and violence out of any generation.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that bothers me the most with Nicki Minaj, when people do this and as a celebrity with showing their body parts like they do, and she's basically simulating oral sex in the front of this magazine on the cover. There's like no question what she's doing to herself. There are no consequences revealed. That is why I go around doing my live show, Hollywood Exposed, because people need to see that these celebrities are promoting one lifestyle, and many of them are sheltering their own kids from it. I've met so many people over the years that don't allow their own kids to see their own entertainment because it promotes an activity that could cause a sexually transmitted disease or a sexually transmitted infection, could cause a teen pregnancy, could cause a rape to take place, to cause cutting and suicide and alcohol issues and drug issues, because these kids think this is cool. They do it because they're not seeing the consequences because it's promoted as the cool and hip thing to do.
It's accepted,
and then
too.
None of the celebrities are going to help them bail them out of prison or at their funeral saying, I'm so sorry.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Tina, one more before we cut you loose. An organization you're involved in that I know you're very high in the work they're doing. It's called Brilliantly Brave Parenting. Talk to us about them.
Yes, and this is excellent. And to answer your last big question, I'm sorry that I got a little tangent with Nikki. Someday I'm going to get that chick on Hollywood Insider and hope she won't hang up on me and I can get some questions answered. Another thing that parents can do is we can control what comes into our own homes. Just because Hollywood dishes out this content to our kids doesn't mean we have to eat it. And so if people text media guide, no spaces, to the number 44222, you will get a killer 4-page PDF guide that I put together that's very easy to follow, that helps you look at positive music lists for your kids to download and for you to get that music knowing full well it's family friendly. You don't have to worry. I have 300 top family films that are listed in this, 50 nonviolent video game lists. All this is constantly updated, plugged in entertainment reviews. If you want to know, hey, is that movie okay to go see with my family ahead of time? Is that TV show coming out good? I have that link in this media guide, a one-stop shop for parents that want to get the power back in their hands when it comes to pop culture. And if they need to do a pop culture purge in 2018 and to say, hey, I've got to get a better handle on this. I don't have a lot of time. Tina, just tell me what to do. This guide will do that for you. If you text the word media guide, no spaces, to 44222. So that has been a compilation of what I've been doing for 15 years on an easy, concise guide for all parents to start applying in their own homes and seeing results the day they start applying it. Like, it's hands down the best thing that God's pumped in my head that's come through the keyboard. Besides the Counterculture Mom app, which will be launched, it was just submitted 2 weeks ago. It'll be launched here in the next month. I'll explain more next month, but I cannot wait for parents to download for free the Counterculture Mom app. It is going to be phenomenal with winning the pop culture war on our kids in this country. Brilliantly Brave, I'll be shooting a show with them this afternoon. They do a podcast every single day. They're fantastic from what I've seen so far. BrilliantlyBraveParenting.com is their website. They've had many really neat guests on just in the last month. There's a couple, Zach and Julie, that talks about siblings collaborating to encourage Christian faith through digital fun. That sounds fantastic, right down my alley. Tim and Amy Cleary just moved here from Australia. I listened to their show this morning. It's about marriage and parenting, a survival guide for young families in transition. If you're a mover and a shaker and you move a lot with young kids, how can you help them through the transition period? Bob Gresh, I've met him many times, Born to Be Brave tour for the men, the young men in our country. And then, of course, his wife, Dana Gresh, there's a podcast that she was just on with Brilliantly Brave Parenting, Insights into Adolescent Sexual Development. So all these people they have on as guests, I'll be shooting one today on pop culture and how to keep our kids safe with the onslaught coming from Hollywood. And this is a great parenting tips and advice coming from this podcast. So definitely feel that parents should check out brilliantlybraveparenting.com.
Excellent. And Tina can be, you can find Tina's work at counterculturemom.com. Tina, Lord's blessings on you. Get some sleep if you can today. And we look forward to talking to you in February.
That sounds great. Thank you so much. You guys take it easy up there. Anytime you're down in Nashville, make sure you come check it out. Oh, and NRB will be happening in Nashville as well. So if anyone wants to come down to NRB for the National Religious Broadcasters Conference, that's happening end of February, February 27th through March 2. Dennis Quaid, Jim Caviezel, and many other Hollywood actors that are doing godly films, praise the Lord, woo-woo, they will be here talking about how to make a difference in our culture through media.
Well, we need that for sure. Tina, thank you so much, and Lord's blessings to you.
Thank you. You too.
When we come back, before we look at Alice Bailey and the UN, one college's solution to reassuring student snowflakes.
Missed a recent show? Catch up anytime on our free app, q90fm.com/app. Click on podcasts. Stand Up for the Truth. We'll continue in a moment. If you want more info on the topics of today's show, then visit standupforthetruth.com. Now, back to Mike LeMay.
You know, David, I do have empathy for what young people go through these days. I mean, you look at the world they're being raised in. You look at how they've been indoctrinated into the importance of social media. I get a feeling sometimes they're just running around like chickens with their head cut off. They're scared about what they see in life. And there's ways to help settle them. Certainly the Word of God can do that. But one university has taken a somewhat unique approach.
Oh, Lord help us. A dorm display at a prestigious university in the Northeast thinks a way for students to handle the stress of studies is to be inspired by brightly colored cartoon bears. The display in Birch Hall at the University of Massachusetts Amherst uses a well-known Care Bears character to suggest that students, quote, surround yourselves with supportive people, make time for fun, and to eat well and get enough sleep. Stacy Washington of Project 21 believes the silliness does more harm than good. She says, once you get people into the mode of relying on other people and external factors for how they control their emotions, you're degrading them. You're taking them back to a place where their parents and their teachers had to help them regulate their emotions. Washington argues that this type of approach could be a deliberate attempt by those associated with the school to undo the emotional maturity that students acquire growing up. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
She tells One News Now, quote, what it looks like to me is that people in colleges are actively working to undo the good work that parents poured themselves into when they raise their kids to prepare them to leave the nest. And it's hard to believe that you pay people to do this to your kids. Campus Reform notes that Birch Hall is a residence for students in the Honors College. That report quotes a student from or at UMass Amherst who points out that those who live in that particular dorm are 20 to 21 years old and should not have to be reminded about eating healthy and getting sufficient sleep. A sophomore there, Bradley Palumbo, said, if you don't know that by age 20, you have bigger problems and probably shouldn't be perusing a degree until you get those sorted out. Speaking of the display, he added, frankly, I think it's ridiculous.
Well, next we'll be passing out Linus's security blankets, I guess. But again, I think it was a very interesting take there by Miss Washington that are they really trying to undo what their parents instilled in them? So these people are going to be leading our nation, David. God help us.
Mm-hmm.
United Nations, if you're younger, you know, and you don't follow the news carefully, you probably look at the United Nations as this wonderful organization out there trying to promote world peace. And as we mentioned in our opening monologue, if that indeed is their goal. They're doing a pretty bad job of it. It's a mismanaged organization. Recently, they've run head-on into President Donald Trump and Nikki Haley when we recognized Jerusalem as Israel's capital, which it has been going back to the times of King David. But, you know, they were all up in arms. They caved into radical Muslim nations who now dominate the General Assembly. But, you know, to understand an organization's goals, you must understand the people that helped form that organization. We've talked about public education and John Dewey being the father of American education, an avowed Marxist who really took the teachings of Lenin and Stalin and have incorporated them into indoctrinating our children in public education, getting them away from classical Christian thought and really getting them to just do or mimic what the education system or government wants them to. Well, to look at the United Nations, and we're not going to get to all of these points today, but we did want to start touching base on it. A lady by the name of Alice Bailey, who was born in 1880, died December 15th of 1949, was one of the early pioneers to start a United Nations. And let's get into a little bit, David, about who Alice Bailey was and what she believed.
All right. Well, she was a writer of more than 24 books on theosophical subjects and was one of the first writers to use the term New Age. So there's a lot of history here. Bailey's works, written between the years 1919 and 1949, describe a wide-ranging system of esoteric thought covering such topics as how spirituality relates to the solar system, meditation, healing, spiritual psychology, the destiny of nations, and prescriptions for society in general. She decided that a majority of her work as having the majority of her work as having been telepathically dictated to her by a master of wisdom, initially referred to as the Tibetan. The initials DK, later identified as
Dwal Cool.
DJWAL, Dwal Cool. Yeah. Alice and Foster Bailey founded Lucifer Publishing Company. Lucifer and Lucis or Lucas came from the same root word, Lucas meaning the Latin genitive case meaning
of light.
Of light.
Like he comes as an angel of light.
Right. After the first two or three years, the name was changed to Lucas Publishing Company and Lucas Trust. Bailey's writings includes a detailed exposition of the seven rays, which are presented as the fundamental energies that are behind and exist throughout all manifestation. They are seen as the basic creative forces of the universe and emanations of divinity that underline the evolution of all things. The rays are described as related to human psychology, the destiny of nations, as well as the planets and stars of the heavens.
And I want to quote from one of Alice Bailey's books published in 1955 after her death, called Discipleship in the New Age. And here's what one of these founders of the UN said, quote, "Evidence of the growth of the human intellect along the needed receptive lines can be seen in the planning of various nations and in the efforts of the United Nations to formulate a world plan. From the very start of this unfoldment, three occult factors have governed the development of all these plans. Within the UN is the germ and seed of a great international and meditating reflective group, a group of thinking and informed men and women in whose hands lies the destiny of humanity. This is largely under the control of many fourth ray disciples," whatever the heck that is, "if you could but realize it. And their point of meditative focus is the intuitional or Buddhic plane, the plane upon which all hierarchical activity is today to be found." So she's obviously a New Age proponent. Mm-hmm. One of the people that was very prominent in starting first the League of Nations under your favorite president, Woodrow Wilson, and now the United Nations formed in 1945 after World War II. Now, we tie this in because we want to go through Alice Bailey's 10-point plan for the New World Order and for the destruction of Christianity. And as we go through these points, I want you to just stop and think, where are we on this spectrum? Are we moving closer to these plans, which have been adopted by the United Nations, or are we successfully resisting them? Point number one, David.
Oh, and by the way, Foster Bailey, her husband, was a Freemason. One of his books was called The Spirit of Masonry. So the very interesting connection there, and the influential people in the in the spirituality of America, New Age. Number one, take God and prayer out of the education system. Change curriculum to ensure that children are freed from the bondage of Christian culture. Why? Because children go to school to be equipped to face life, and they're willing to trust and they're willing to value what is being given to them. If you take God out of education, they will unconsciously form a resolve that God is not necessary to face life. They will focus on those things. The school counts them worthy to be passed on, and they will look at God as an additional,
If one can afford the – so in other words, he's kind of a God of choice. You can kind of pull him in if you want to. You don't need to. Let's just look at that point, David. How successful public education has been in throwing God out of the school. And I really love the way this article talks about this, that children go to school to learn how to deal with life. And when you take God out as a factor, if you will, in dealing with life – well, what do they have? They can either trust in themselves, or they can trust what they're being taught and what they're being indoctrinated to by the government. And I would certainly have to say that they are well on the line of doing this, not only in the United States, but throughout the world.
It says, NB Today, today they introduce transcendental meditation in schools, which takes children to altered states of consciousness to meet with demons, spirit guides, which is part of the New Age.
Mm-hmm.
Number two on this list is reduce parental authority over the children. Break the communication between the parent and the child. Why? So that parents do not pass on their Christian traditions to their children. Liberate children from the bondage of their parent traditions. And then it says how, and I think it goes into two steps on how to do that. Promote excessive child rights. And
they talk about the UNICEF charter. Today a child is able to say to a parent, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to do what you're telling me to do. Teachers cannot talk to children. Children step up and say, I have rights. You can't talk to me like that. The United Nations Act of the Child has not been implemented in the United States, but it has in several nations. And under that, you cannot force your child to go to church. You cannot force your child to go to school. And if you try to discipline your child, and we've seen this over and over and over in Europe, parents being hauled before court because they've spanked their children and being charged with child abuse. So well on the way to implementing one of these UN principles, certainly.
And one of them, the second one, I think there's three. The second one, abolish corporal punishment. And this has been made law. On the other hand, the Bible says, when it comes to punishing or disciplining children, Proverbs 23:13-14, do not withhold correction from a child. For if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. Mike, can you explain what beat him with a rod means?
Well, it certainly doesn't mean to beat him within an inch of his life.
It does sound
worse than it is. The Bible's talking about that sometimes young children need physical discipline. Certainly that discipline should never cross over that line to doing permanent damage to a child. You know, hit them on the hiney, never hit them in the head, but sometimes they do need a slap on the butt when they're young. But again, you can't do that under the United Nations Charter, or you'll probably be drawn into court and charged with child abuse. So when the Bible is very clear, not just with children, but we even with us as adopted children of God, that we need discipline. And the Lord disciplines those. He chastises those whom he loves. So without discipline, what do you have? You have an undisciplined society, and that's exactly what you're seeing permeate throughout Western Europe and the United States these days.
And it's disappointing how successful they've been at implementing some of these things, because kids today, generally, a lot of kids don't hear the word no very often, Mike, let alone spiritual or discipline that we're talking about, biblical discipline.
And then they go on to talk about how teachers are the agents of implementation in this, Dave.
Yep, from workshops, teachers tell children, Your parent has no right to force you to pray or read the Bible. You are yourself. You have a right of your own. You need to discover yourself, self-expression, self-realization, self-fulfillment, and are all the buzzwords. In the West, when the child is 7 years old, the teachers begin to say to the child, you have a right to choose whether you want to follow the faith of your parents or not. And parents are not allowed to enforce their faith upon you. The question is, what type of decision can a seven-year-old make? And of course, they're hearing about transgenderism and gender identity now at 6 and 7 years old.
Exactly. And maybe I'm just an old prude, Dave, but I guess until a child is of the age of what we call majority as an adult, as long as that child is living in the house with the mother and father are the boss. And if the mother and father say go to church, you go to church. They say go to school, pick up your clothes, clean your room, you do it. But this undermining of parental authority, and what this really is, you need to understand this. This isn't about freeing children. This is about enslaving them. This is about enslaving them to the state, enslaving them to the education system. It's really drug abuse. It's really pumping our children with an addiction to have to follow what they're being taught in public education, taking them away from their parents. And we go back to Hillary Clinton's book in 1996, I believe, It Takes a Village to Raise a Child. Mm-hmm. So in other words, in the liberal mindset, parents are unable to adequately raise and prepare their children, so they need the government and they need education and they need media. All you have to do is look at the direction of the nation and of Western Europe to see how miserably that is failing.
Well, number three, destroy the Judeo-Christian family structure or the traditional Christian family structure. It is oppressive, they say, and that the family is the core of the nation. If you break the family, you break the nation. Liberate the people from the confines of this structure. How? Well, there's two major points here. Promote sexual promiscuity. And this is some of these, Mike, parallel the communist goals of 1958.
Very much so.
And that was one of the things they did, normalize homosexuality, promote sexual promiscuity, free young people to the concept of premarital sex. Let them have free sex, and we call it experimentation in any way. Lift it so high that the joy of enjoying sex is the highest joy in life. Fantasize it. Let everybody will feel proud to be seen as sexually active, even those outside of marriage. And boy, have they made some progress here in the last several decades. This is contrary to the Word of God, which says clearly in Ephesians 5, 3 through 5, among other scriptures, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. For this you will know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God.
Very, very strong language there. Couple things. You know, when you provide free sex, Dave, and a young child gets pregnant, well, of course, you've got to provide free abortion.
Mm.
And I want to talk a little bit about this this sex drive. Freud made this very popular back in the 19th century. Freudian psychology, most of which psychology is based on today, says that the human being is nothing more than a slightly elevated animal. And the strongest drive in us is to procreate, is to have sex. Freud taught that. It's implemented American psychology to the nth degree. And really, you have a nation here, you have a world here right now that is obsessed with sex and discards love. Mm. Love is commitment. Love is a choice to be committed to someone for the rest of your life. But sex has replaced love, and it's now become a convenience. It's something you do as an expression of love in their mind. And, oh, by the way, if it happens to create a baby you don't want, no problem. Just murder the baby. So we have a guest I've been talking to who's going to be joining us in the end of January. He is a licensed psychologist. His name is John Rosemond, and he spent years in psychology. He's going to come on with us and really show you how psychology is destroying the family and is destroying lives, because it's gotten away from what God says about the brain and what people like Freud have said. So we're going to be booking Dr. John Rosemond in the coming weeks. He's going to open your eyes about as to what psychology is doing to people. When we come back, we're going through the Alice Bailey's 10-point plan to transform the world through the UN, and we'll get to point three when we come back.
If you want to contact us about any of the topics discussed today, email your questions to comments at standupforthetruth.com. Stand Up for the Truth will continue in a moment. This is Stand Up for the Truth. Call in your questions now at 1-800-979-9010 nationwide. Now back to Mike LeMay.
Well, Alice Bailey was an occult kook. She had a vision to how to transform the world, and the United Nations is carrying out her step-by-step plan. And Dave, we talked a little bit about this, but let's go to point four. What happens when sex is free and unbinding?
Well, build clinics for abortion, health clinics in schools. If people are going to enjoy the joy of sexual relationships, they need to be free of unnecessary fears. In other words, they should not be hampered with unwanted pregnancies. Abortion, as told by Christians, is oppressive and denies our rights. We have a right to choose whether we want to have a child or not. If a woman does not want the pregnancy, she should have the freedom to get rid of that pregnancy, painless and as easy as possible. Today is not only, let's see, today it's not only accessible, it is forced. Today, abortion is a strategy to curb population control, together with the use of condoms and the pill.
You know, very interesting in their argument that, you know, we have a choice whether we want a child or not. I would agree with that. Then don't have sex or have sex with proper protection. But once you are pregnant with a child, that right to choose whether to have that child or not, according to God, no longer exists.
But notice how they put it here, that if a woman does not want the pregnancy.
Yeah.
Okay, let's reverse this a little bit. Once you are pregnant, the Bible considers that in many scriptures, it says with child. Once you have conceived, you are with child. This says you are with pregnancy. It says if the woman does not want the pregnancy, it doesn't say fetus, or it doesn't say human embryo, it doesn't say human fetus, it doesn't say child in the womb. It says if you don't want the pregnancy. So they're almost personalizing the word pregnancy and saying, just get rid of the pregnancy.
Yeah.
But what are they doing when they get rid of the pregnancy?
They're killing a child. Yeah. You know, you want to drive a liberal nuts and you want to watch him go over the deep end. Whenever he or she get on their soapbox talking about social justice, simply say, does that pertain to children? Does that pertain to children in a womb? Because they will never defend the right to life, because to them it isn't about choice and about freedom, it's about convenience, and it's just a hypocritical movement. Point number five, which kind of ties in with this, Dave.
Well, this was written over 65 years ago.
Yes.
Make divorce easy and legal, free or liberate people from the concept of marriage for life. So they've done this, and it is like an ovum that comes out of the ovary as it travels through your system. It clicks a love favor in you, and there's one other person in the world who can respond to that love bond. When you see that person, everything within you clicks. That is your man or woman. If you miss him, you'll never be happy until that love bond cycle's passed for many years. So for you to be happy, get that person at whatever cost, even if it means getting him or her out of that marriage. Get him or her, and that is your man or woman. It's a mistake for him or her to be elsewhere. And if you go together for some time and find that love has died, don't be held in bondage by the Christian values. It will never come back. What you need is an easily arranged divorce and allow another love bond to come forth, just like an ovum comes up. And when it comes forth, you'll enjoy life again. On the contrary, God's word says this in Malachi 2:16, for example, for the Lord God of Israel says he hates divorce.
Dave, I think of this and how we become a society of instant gratification, and you look at some of the things that happens. We no longer drive automobiles until they're not functional. No, we need a new automobile because it makes us look cool, or, you know, we can't keep that old iPhone because the new iPhone can do something totally ridiculous. So we'll spend another $1,000 to upgrade our iPhones. So we've become a disposable society. Mm-hmm. And sadly, we become disposable when it comes to marriage and to children. And it's all, again, about pursuing our own personal happiness. and setting aside responsibility towards others, a life in the womb of a mother, or certainly even someone you're married to. When God brings two people together, no man should put them asunder. And that means that you stay with your husband and wife, even if they can be irritating, even if they can be unlovable at times. Because love, according to the Bible, is a choice. It is a choice to make a commitment to a person for the rest of your life. But today, people don't want the consequences. They want the benefits of love, but not the responsibilities of love. So we discard our wife, we discard the child, we discard the husband, because our personal feelings and needs are no longer being met. Very, very sad.
Yeah, number six, of course, make homosexuality an alternative lifestyle. Alice Bailey preached this over 65 years ago, that sexual enjoyment is the highest pleasure in humanity. No one must be denied and no one must be restricted how to enjoy themselves. People should be allowed in whichever way they choose they want, whether it is homosexuality or incest or bestiality, as long as the two agree.
Well, let's just take this.
How does an animal agree with you, Mike?
Let's talk about, so is rape okay? If I just have this sexual need, is it okay for me to rape a woman?
Of course not. Incest or...
But still, but when you take this to its logical conclusion, hey, if I've got sexual needs, who is that woman to deny me? Of course, obviously that's a sick mindset, but, you know, it's according, you know, God's word is very clear that sex is reserved for a man and a woman in marriage before God. Not two men, not two women, not a man and a woman outside of marriage. It's a benefit given to us by God, a very pleasurable benefit that's part of a loving marriage. But that's just way too arcane for today's world, David. Mm. Point number seven, debase art and make it run mad. Promote new forms of art which will corrupt and defile the imagination of people, because art is the language of the spirit. That which is inside, you can bring out in painting, music, drama. Look at the quality of the music that's coming out, the films out of Hollywood, and what Tina just talked about. How you can, you know, David, when I was young and I went shopping with my parents, and you'd go to the checkout, you know, the girly magazines, which we used to call them, were always behind a counter, and they were wrapped in a way where you couldn't see much on the cover. I mean, mm-hmm. It would say, what was it, Playboy on top, and, you know, that was it. Now you go to checkout counters at grocery stores and you look at the covers of some of these things. It's borderline pornographic.
I'm glad you brought that up, because there are magazines that are widely accepted, not just as a culture, but in Christian homes as well, that are, some of them on the cover, Mike, are worse than some of these Playboy covers in the 1960s or 70s. Worse. And these are entertainment magazines, whether that be Entertainment Weekly, whatever. I can't think of some of the names now, but you can see them right on the supermarket shelves, right when you on the racks when you
Cosmopolitan.
Yeah, there's a lot, and it's under the guise of it's just entertainment, Mike. And I'll tell you what. We need to be convicted when it comes to what we allow in our lives under the guise of entertainment. What is entertainment? How is that biblical? You know what I mean? There's to the point that it is accepted in America today. Entertainment, a lot of it, you know, it's evil, it's wrong, it's sinful to partake in some of this, to read some of it, to watch some of the movies that are freely on television and everything else. So entertainment can get us into a lot of trouble. The least it will do is distract you from God and take you away or tempt you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you're a man, if you've had problems with pornography, just what you see on these supermarket shelves, it's awful. And it's just blatantly accepted, wide open now.
Mm-hmm. Point eight, use media to promote and change mindset. I mean, we talk about that a lot on this show, how the media will tell you what they want you to know versus what reality is. Points 9 and 10, we could do a whole show on these, Dave. Number 9, create an interfaith movement. Promote other faiths to be at par with Christianity and break this thing about Christianity as being the only way to heaven. Humanism. And we are seeing this infiltrate the church. We're seeing the Chrislam movement make Islam compatible with Christianity. We're seeing New Age come into the church, and the church seems woefully unprepared for the most part to combat these lies.
Let me give you an example of this idea of promoting other faiths to be at par with Christianity. The coexist bumper sticker. Coexist. You know, Christianity is the T on the end there, but all these other religions and cults, you're supposed to just coexist, exist with them. Don't speak against them. Don't judge them. Everything's equal. Coexist on par with Christianity. Well, we make, or Jesus made a pretty exclusive claim, and that's what we believe, that that Christianity is the one true faith, that Jesus is the only way. But Mike, there are Christians who naively have this coexist bumper sticker on their cars, thinking that it's all about world peace or something.
Oh, yeah.
It's, understand the movement, understand it goes way beyond just simply coexist.
The 10th point that Alice Bailey made was to get governments to make all these laws and get the church to endorse these changes.
Huh.
The church must change its doctrine and accommodate people by accepting things and putting them into structures and systems. The article says, have they succeeded? Well, today you wonder why our governments are legislating laws contrary to the Bible and why the church is compromising the Word of God. It is a process of implementing the plan, a 50-year strategy of the New Age movement to fulfill its ultimate goal to establish a one-world government, one-world economic system, and one-world religion. The Bible has a lot to say about that in Revelation.
Yes.
Today, the strategy, almost in its entirety, has been adopted by the UN, and a lot of it is already law in many nations. Thank God we have a president, at least now, that's saying we're not going to be implementing the UN strategy here in the United States, but it may only be a matter of time. The deception has crept up on so many people. It can be best demonstrated through the well-known analogy of the frog in the pot of water. And if you turn the heat up on the frog, of course, it ends up boiling itself to death. So when you look back 65 years ago, Alice Bailey, one of the instrumental people in forming the United Nations, wrote these 10 goals. And Dave, I don't think there's one of the things she wrote toward this supposed utopia that is not actively being pursued by the United Nations today. So very, very stark and hopefully eye-opening view of where we are. And are we as Christians going to be dragged into this? Or are we going to, as the Bible warns us, if we remain faithful to the end, we will be saved and we will have eternity with God? So a lot in this. And again, 65 years ago, Dave, I can't help but wonder, people, if they had read this, said, no way. And now they're saying way.
Yeah, in my first book, I wrote a chapter called It Could Never Happen in America. And after going through this timeline, and that's just, I just took a 50-year look at this window at that time from 1962 to 2012. It was amazing what the left and what atheists and what these types of people really were able to accomplish. But it started way beyond this, even the 1960s. But that's when a lot of things really came to visibility and fruition.
Yeah, Satan really has the same old tired lie that he whispered to Eve and Adam, you can be like God. But with the changes in how people think, the changes in technology, that lie is looking like more of reality to people every day. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show and tell you about our guest tomorrow.
Have a question for Mike? Email him anytime at comments@standupforthetruth.com. We'll wrap up Stand Up For The Truth in a moment. We're getting ready to wrap up today's show. Stand Up For The Truth is sponsored by Lakeshore Communications Incorporated and made possible by your generous tax-deductible donations at standupforthetruth.com/donate. Now, here's Mike LeMay with some final thoughts.
Well, tomorrow we're going to focus on God's Word. Dave Wager joins us. We're going to take a look at God's Word. How are we doing it, living it? What are the obstacles we see to living it? And really, David, as we look at this article in particular, more and more important for us to stick out like a sore thumb, to look nothing like the world. You know, and one thing I always find interesting is sometimes your faith in God can be judged by how many friends and enemies you have. And if you don't have people out there who dislike you, maybe you're not living that unique way we're called to live. Now, I'm not saying going out there and start fights. Paul does say, get along with all men as much as it's dependent upon you, but that should never come at the cost of compromising God's word or living the way the world lives. So we're going to continue to shine the light on what the world looks like, and tomorrow with Dave Wager, we will bring you back to God's word. For David Fiorazzo, Mike LeMay, standing up for the truth, be bold, strong, unashamed of the gospel, because the Lord your God is always with you.